Hello, Robertson.
Hey, look here. Where is that fellow Smith?
Well, he ain't been in this morning, Robertson.
Well, I'm getting sick and tired of him. I engaged him to organize an orchestra, and here our big broadcast is less than a few days off, and he hasn't hired a single musician yet, let alone rehearsed.
Well, I don't know much about it, Robertson.
And what about Madame Coates? I left word for Smith to try out her voice. Did he do it?
No, he didn't, Robertson. You see,
yeah, I thought as much. Well, I'm going to discharge that fellow. I'm going to bring in an orchestra from the city.
How much is that going to cost?
$500.
Well, now, wait a minute, Robertson. Just a second here. We'll give you plenty of rope around here and let you have your own way. But we can't spend another cent on this broadcast.
You spend whatever I think is necessary.
Oh, we will, huh? Well, you just got another thinker coming, young fella.
Oh, have I?
Yes.
Well, don't forget, Mr. Winterbottom, that I know where that radio equipment came from. It was stolen from station WART.
Oh, yes, but now, shucks, Robertson, you don't need an orchestra. We can put on that play that Professor Thistlewaite wrote, the one about the disappearance of that fellow Walter Guest.
Oh, that play is too absurd even to talk about. We're going to have an orchestra, and you're going to pay for it. I intend to send a wire about it this afternoon.
Yes, but then...
Do you want me to tell the police about that equipment?
Oh, but that stuff was given to us. It was given to us by...
Yes, I said, do you want me to tell the police about it?
Oh, shucks. Go ahead and hire your orchestra.
I thought you'd come to your senses.
But for God's sake, don't say nothing about this to Ed. If he ever found out I bought some stolen stuff, I'd never hear the last of it.
You do as I tell you, and I'll keep my mouth shut.
Mm.
Oh, yes, and when Smith comes in, you tell him to stop.
Yes, I'll tell him. Oh, concern it. I'm predicting that we get into such a mess anyhow. Try to do what's right, and the first thing you know,
Dagnabbit, I'm through.
What's the matter now?
Chuck, I'm through with this radio business, and that's all there is to it.
Why, what's the matter now?
Who is this fella, Smith?
Why, he's an orchestra leader. Why?
Well, what's he following me around for?
Following you around?
Yes, he and that other fella followed me all over town this morning, and the other fella's been following me for days.
What other fella?
Well, I don't know who he is, but he's been following me just the same, and I'm getting dad darn tired of having to pass through his crazy radio performers and tapes around after me. Me and you is going to get out of this broadcasting business.
I wish we knew how we could.
By the Ginger River, I'll tell you how we can. We'll toss that dad-ratted broadcast machinery into the garbage can and fire Robertson Dunn.
Wait. No, we can't do that, Deb. We can't fire Robertson.
Why can't we?
Because we can't. He's Mrs. Pinkley's nephew, ain't he? If we fired him, she'd never put a foot in this store again.
Foot of what?
Her foot is nothing. Her foot. I said that she...
Well, what's the matter with her foot?
There ain't nothing the matter with it. I just said she wouldn't put it in the store again.
Well, who in the tarnation wants her to put her foot in the store?
Oh, you don't get the idea at all. Now, listen. Mrs. Pinkley's one of our best customers. If we want to hold her trade, we got to be nice to her. As I always said, you can't catch flies with vinegar. No, sir. You got to use molasses. And if...
How's that?
Molasses. Molasses! And firing Robertson Dunn would be just about the quickest way of putting our foot in it.
In the molasses?
No, not in the molasses.
In the vinegar.
Yes. No, not the vinegar neither.
Well, what in tarnation are we going to put our foot in then?
We ain't going to put it in nothing.
And anyway, whose feet are you talking about? Ours or Mrs. Pinkley's?
I ain't talking about feet at all. I didn't say nothing about feet.
You did.
I didn't.
You did.
I did not. Feet ain't got nothing to do with it.
You did.
So you just get Pete out of your head. I told you we couldn't fire Robertson Dunn because he's Mrs. Pinkley's nephew. And firing him would be just about the quickest way of rousing Mrs. Pinkley's scorn.
I thought you said you wasn't talking about Pete.
I ain't.
Well, then where's her corn?
Of all the dead, darn, thick-headed... hello, Professor Thistlewaite.
I do, Professor. I say, I have another idea for you.
Idea?
Yes, for the big broadcast, you know.
Right.
Do you know what all the up-to-date radio stations are doing now? They're allowing an audience in the studio. Now, why can't you do that?
Well, I'll bite. Why can't we?
But you can. You can. That's the whole point. You could allow an audience in here, say 30 or 40 people, and charge them $1 apiece.
Say, by cracky, Professor, that's an idea.
Shucks, it won't work. Nobody will pay $1 to see a radio program.
Oh, of course they will. With all the stars you're having, they'd gladly pay it. Why, when Madame Cope was on concert tour, I paid $1.50 to see her alone.
What do you want to see her alone for?
I mean, I paid $1.50 for a ticket for her recital. Now, here, we've organized two teams to sell tickets, the Blues and the Reds. Robertson Dunn and Mr. Smith will be the blues, and you and Mr. Winterbottom will be the reds.
Well, where do you come in, Professor?
Well, as I am not attached to the station, I can't participate officially, but I'll do everything I can to help.
Yes, well, that's mighty fine, Professor. And, what about that play you wrote about the disappearance of Walter Guest? How are you going to end it?
Until the police find more clues, I'm afraid I can't do very much about adding a conclusion to it. But if it's too short, we might lengthen it by doing a bit of Walter Guest's biography. He had a very interesting career. Let me see. I believe he was born in 1890. Now, how old would he be?
He'd be a baby.
No.
Why, certainly he would, Professor.
No, don't be sad. He has wrinkles and gray hair.
Well, maybe he worried.
Oh, certainly not.
No, what would a baby have to worry about?
But he's not a baby. He was a middle-aged man.
How's that?
A middle-aged man.
When he was born?
When he disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
Now, at the age of 14, he was left an orphan, but he...
Well, what did he do with it?
Do with what? Do with what?
The orphan.
Oh, I mean he was the orphan. He was the orphan. But he was not entirely penniless. He had saved some money to buy a sailing boat, but instead he bought a cow.
I bet he looked dead darn funny sailing a cow.
Yes, well, he looked a darn sight funny milking a boat.
But you don't grasp it. I say, he wasn't entirely reduced to poverty. He still had fun, see?
Fun doing what?
Fun sailing the cow.
He didn't sail the cow.
What you mean, Professor? He didn't sell the cow.
I mean nothing of the sort. He bought the cow. Bought the cow and went into the dairy business on a small scale. He was just beginning to have some small measure of success when the cow became ill.
She did, eh?
Yes. It was in the dead of winter, and all night and all the next day the boy stayed in the stable taking care of her, nursing her. And then, after all night and all day, sucker for the cow arrived. And
yes, but Professor, what would a sick cow want with an all-day sucker?
I mean aid, assistance, help. A young girl from a neighboring farm named Adeline Sims came in and helped him tend the cow. And later, he married her.
Married the cow?
Married the girl. And in after years, when he went into the cheese business, he named the finest brand after his wife. Called...
His wife?
Yes, called...
Mrs. Cheese.
Exactly. Mrs. Cheese. Oh, his wife wasn't called Mrs. Cheese.
She wasn't?
No. His wife was called Adeline. And that's what he called the cheese, Adeline cheese.
That's the kind of cheese we keep here in the store.
Yes, it's quite a popular brand. Well, as I say, we can use that in our play in case the police don't catch the underworld rats who abducted Mr. Guest. I think it would give the story a rather pretty romantic touch.
Yes.
Of course, we still have several days before the broadcast, and by that time, the police might catch them. Well, don't forget about organizing the two teams of blues and reds to sell the tickets.
No, we won't, Professor.
And I'll pop in tomorrow and see how you're getting along. Well, yes. Good morning.
Yes,
good
morning. Good morning. Yes,
so long, Professor. Yes, you know, Zeb, that's just a lot of dad-darn foolery.
What's a lot of foolery? You mean me and you being the red team to sell tickets?
No. Putting the cheese in that play. What's the cheese for, anyhow?
Why, Conshawn, there, Peter, don't you get that?
No.
That's to help the police catch the rats.